You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. As your host and speaker, I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your busy day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are in a study here on WGOD Radio. Actually, we got a lot of studies going on this program. On our station in Virginia, WDZY, right now at the moment, there's a study in Galatians going on. We're in chapter 2 there. Here on WMIE and WWBC, we're in 1 Timothy, as well as some of the Sunday sermons from the church that I pastor, and that is Matthew. That's where we've been here in this radio station, listening to the sermon series out of the Gospel of Matthew. We left off the other day looking at the Lord's plea to enter in through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction, is what he said. And then he was talking about, now I love the way the majority text is most of the Greek manuscripts that are in existence, and they read totally different. Well, not totally different, is one word different for the next verse. Starts with the word O. Most Bibles say, for narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. The majority text starts with the word O and ends with an exclamation point, meaning Jesus is emphatic. Maybe he's upset. Maybe he's crying. Maybe he's shedding a tear. But I'll tell you this, he's being very dramatic when he says, oh, how narrow is the gate and confined is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it, exclamation point. And that just totally changes that text for me if that's the right reading. Oh, how narrow is the gate or door. There's so many doors out here in life that call you, that draw you. But Jesus says it's narrow, and that is, it's through him alone. The Apostle Peter learned and says there is no other way. There's no other name given among men under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. You see, the Jews go in a different door. It's very close. It's the next door over. I wanted to hang a sign on the doors at church here last Sunday when I preached this. The next door, you could put Moses on there. It's a very similar door. It's right next door to the one. But Moses isn't good enough. Moses won't get you to heaven. You'll still be a sinner when you go through the door, Mark Moses. You see, you've got a sin problem. And your sins have to be dealt with here in this life before you die, A, or B, before Jesus comes back and ends all this. Because once you see him, it's too late. Your faith won't count. It doesn't matter. Once you see him, then it's too late. Remember that proverb from Dr. Paul Esposito to you today. Once you see him, then it's too late. Once you see him, then it's too late. If you die and see him and go, oh, I guess my grandmother was right or the pastor was right, then it's too late. When you die and see him, it's too late. Or when he comes back and you see him, it's too late. Which is why Revelation 1:7 reads the way that it does. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth, it says, will mourn. Well, that word, kalpos, it means to beat one's breast in anguish. That's why some translations say wail. Why, pray tell, do you think people are... I mean, let me ask you, is that going to be your response if Jesus comes back today? Are you going to beat your breast in agony? Would you wail if Jesus came back today? Would you wail? Because people are going to look up, you see. Then they're going to look down, and they're going to see right there on their right hand, 666. And then they're going to wail because they've been deceived. They've been deceived. They guessed wrong. And Jesus is adamant that you don't guess wrong and choose the wrong door, but go in through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father who's on the other side of that door. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me tell you, I'm telling you this here today, friend, on the authority of the Word of God, there is one way for you to receive eternal life. There's only one way to have your sin problem done forever. There's only one way for you to be reconciled back to your Creator. And that is through Jesus Christ, through receiving him. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there's more to that than that. Remember, he says, as my sermon was, it says, you got to forsake all. He might call you to do something. He said, no one who puts his hand at a plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. I encourage you to listen to that sermon, The Narrow Gate. Here today, we're looking at Paul's letter. All right, I'm done raving for now. We're looking at Paul's letter here to Timothy. This is a pastoral letter, they call it. This is a letter from one pastor to another. Now, Paul, of course, was his mentor. Timothy, by this time, was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. I like to say First Baptist at Ephesus. I'm joking. He's the pastor at the church. Though there is only one church, you see, back then, there was the church. That's why getting thrown out of the church, it was over for you. Which is probably what he meant, to deliver a person over to Satan. That is, being removed from the church and the protection of the church. Okay, we're in 1 Timothy. We left off here in verses 3. Let's read his first couple of verses here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, Paul's exhortation to the young pastor. This gives you a good insight from one pastor or an evangelist, let's just call him a pastor, to another pastor. And ask yourself as we read this, is your pastor doing this? Are you seeing these things employed in the church today? Does your pastor or church's doctrine line up with what Paul's teaching Timothy here? Chapter 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. You see, that means Donald Trump, too, and everyone else out here. You pray for them. Maybe you say, well, Donald Trump wasn't president when Paul wrote that. No, you're right. Nero was emperor, and he was feeding Christians to the lions and dipping them in oil and setting them on fire to light his arena. How are you doing with that? That's his instruction. Don't hate the president or anyone else, no matter who it is, this one or the last one. Pray for those. What Paul wrote to the church in Romans, too, in chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the King James's higher powers. That's the ruling authorities, the government, and pay taxes and subject yourself to the government. That's what Paul's telling Timothy, what I'm telling you today, pay your taxes, submit to the government, do what they say, except when they tell you conflicts with what God says. When they say, be quiet, don't mention the name of Jesus, you say, I either have to obey you or God. When they conflict, you obey God. But paying taxes doesn't conflict with God. That's why Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. That is your heart, all your worship, your praise. Let's go back one word there again. Worship. Worship. Now let's move on here. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Maybe you say, but I thought it was Jesus, our Savior. Hey, these are interchangeable, friend. God, Jesus, why? Because Jesus is God. Thomas bowed the knee to him and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus is God. He's God the Son. It's interchangeable. Sometimes in the Old Testament, you read God said there's no other Savior other than me. Is that a conflict? No, it's not, because Jesus Christ is God. God the Son. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all Calvinists to be saved. Oh, no, wait. That's not what it says. It says who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The will of God is that everyone will be saved because the Bible says as much. Believe the word of God at what it says, at what the word says. Not at what men tell you that it says. Verse, again, 4 and 5. Or if this is the will of God, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, comma, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. He wants everyone. It's up to you to make that decision. He said, all day long I've stretched out my arms to a disobedient, obstinate people. And then at the end of Revelation, you read those words, whosoever will. Salvation is available to the whosoever wills. Now, granted, your faith is a gift from God, but whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God, a mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and I'm speaking the truth in Christ, and I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is where we're going to have to leave off today. But what can I say about this? A couple things. First, how it's important to have a literal Bible. Man means man. Men means men. See the difference here? Some translations, like this new NIV and the others, they got brothers and sisters. They make singular words plural and plural words single. They change men to they and men to it. You need to have a literal Bible where man is man. Him is him, they are they. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time, unfortunately. We're going to pick it up right there in our next program. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD